That's a pretty big drawback.
Yes.
And the Nightwalker knew about this?
He was aware of the downside, yes. It's why he was always using his powers.
I just thought he was obsessive about fighting crime.
I rubbed my temples. This was starting to seem like responsibility.
Anything else I should know about?
You will be harassed by the ghosts of the dead. Those who have been murdered and their killers uncaught will be your most frequent visitors.
So, unless I pursue my new career 24/7, the city will go old George Romero.
Likewise, I'm going to be the kid from The Sixth Sense from now on. You've lost me with your colloquialisms, but yes. I thought through all of the implications.
I'm okay with it.
Really? Cloak sounded skeptical.
Yep.
You're taking this well?
Well, I figure it's a case of no pain, no gain. If I complain now, after getting superpowers, I just come off as a tremendous dink.
I looked down onto the city, taking in its vast wealth, all of which I intended to plunder.
There's nothing too bad about these drawbacks anyway. I have no intention of quitting my new career. That should keep the zombie population down. As for the ghosts, well, I'll avoid cemeteries and morgues.
Your cavalier attitude frightens me.
Some things you do for love.
I winced. The word love made me realize I had a big problem on my hands.
Now I just need to figure out how I'm going to break this to Mandy.
Your wife?
Yeah, who else? I wasn't going to be one of those supers who kept their secret identity secret even from their spouses. Supervillainy seemed like the sort of thing you needed to be upfront with your spouse about. Unfortunately, there was the slight fact that Mandy hadn't been raised in the lifestyle. She'd almost no experience other than some college experimentation. The trick was figuring out how to broach the subject without her going ballistic.
Perhaps she will be understanding about the fact you're going to put her in constant danger as well as make the world an objectively worse place by your presence.
Let's hope.
I was saved from having to think on the subject further by the sound of an alarm going off. I was surprised I could hear it until I realized it was coming from the bank itself. Pulling out the pair of binoculars I brought, I saw a group of thieves moving in and out of the building's front doors. The bandits were dressed in Eskimo parkas and traveling in an ice cream truck with a rotating polar bear head. They were loading it up with bags of money as they shooed away pedestrian with Uzis. Yikes. I had to salute their choice of getaway car. An ice cream truck was the perfect vehicle for a nefarious gang of ne'er-do-wells. Let other thieves use inconspicuous white vans. Falcon Crest City criminals traveled in theme.
Oh, those jackasses, I shouted.
What?
I was gonna rob this bank,
I shouted. I hadn't put much thought in my supervillainous debut, but I wasn't about to be shown up on my first day.
Okay, Cloak, how do I do the intangible thing?
Just think, intangible. It's like ordering your arm to flex.
Okay.
I gave a shout, thinking of passing down through the floors beneath me. I was surprised when it worked. I heard a number of screams as I descended past hundreds of employees. Apparently, they'd never seen a caped man moving through things like a ghost. When I landed on the ground floor, I got a good look at the bank and the people robbing it. The Falcon Crest City First National Bank was pretty typical as corrupt metropolitan banks went. There were teller windows, fancy carpets, and a huge vault door just waiting to be robbed. Of course, the huge icicles hanging from the ceiling and skating rink-like ice spread around the floor were new. So were all the customers and personnel on the ground with their hands behind their head. Five or six cold-weather costume-wearing hoodlums armed with assault rifles were already emptying out the vault. Their leader, the ice cream man, was leaning up against the frozen form of what I suspected was the bank president. Thankfully, none of them were looking in my direction. The ice cream man was the malt shop gang's leader and the third most famous supervillain in the city. He was dressed in a pink button-down shirt, white pants, suspenders, and a little paper hat. The ice cream man also had cut off his lips and sharpened his teeth to shark-like levels. It was pretty damn scary and reminded me not everyone took supervillainy in quite the same easygoing manner as myself. Also noteworthy was a girl standing on the other side of the deceased bank president, holding a two-handed gun which looked like it came from the 40th century. She was an attractive girl with long red hair, shades, and a furry hood. There was something familiar about her, but I couldn't place it.
The ice cream man, shit just got real, I muttered.
I hadn't expected one of America's worst domestic terrorists to be making an appearance here. It was too late to back out now, though.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Not at all, but I've got an entrance to make.
Fine.
Cloak sounded irritated.